This is Philosophy versus Improv, where two sages try to teach each other a thing or two, and maybe you, the audience, get something out of it as well.
I'm Mark Linton-Meyer, your philosophy tutor today.
And I am Bill Arnett, your improv tutor.
Not from the Tudor dynasty?
No.
Okay, all right.
Not a Plantagenet or a Hanover or a Windsor.
Well,
Plantagenet.
I have brought a ringer today, someone to fill in the cerebral gaps here. Tamler, please introduce yourself to the folks.
My name is Tamler Summers, and I am a philosophy professor at the University of Houston and host of the Very Bad Wizards podcast.
I'm sure it's great. I'm sure it's good. You said it's very bad.
Oh.
You've never heard that joke.
I thought you were like, I'm sure all of that sounds very nice. And, you know, you do you, I guess. But
I'm sure to your audience, that sounds impressive. But to our audience, who has much higher standards,
yeah,
wizards, right. We don't believe in wizards here.
Well, I've recently come out as not a believer in ghosts, but open to belief in ghosts.
Okay.
So, I'm experimenting in all sorts of new epistemological ways.
All right. Okay.
So you think there's something persistent about the self that might continue on after the mortal coil has shuffled?
I don't think that, actually. Although, I guess then it's like, well, then what are the ghosts? That's a good, okay. I don't know. But yeah, I kind of don't. And I also don't necessarily want that. And I don't often understand what it means.
You don't want to be saying at the beginning of a podcast that we're going to start, oh, it's a philosophy podcast. That must mean it's about the supernatural. Is that what you don't want? What do you don't want exactly?
Well, so first of all, yeah, I don't know if I want to just live forever.
Oh, okay.
Number one. But number two, I'm talking about like sometimes when you talk about coming back in a different life, I'm not sure what exactly that means. You know, just theories of reincarnation where you don't have access in any way to your previous lives, or if you do, it's some deeply sublimated unconscious way. So what is that? I'm not sure.
And now you're on the hook for a bill of goods you never agreed to.
Yeah, and don't even know what exactly that bill is.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm a rock. Wow,
yeah.
I'm a rock. Crap.
Yeah, that sucks.
I feel like I want to go through Derek Parfit, is a philosopher who talks about personal identity a lot, talks about Star Trek teleporters and things like that, and thought that really when you get transported, and we've talked about this on this show before, Bill, you actually just get killed, and then they build another one of you or there. But if they don't kill the first one, then you've got a clone, you've got a dupe that is, but if then at that very moment you both die, can you come back as twins? How does this interact with the reincarnation scenario?
How could you come back as twins?
I'm just hoping, because we haven't had any life experiences. You know, we just both come out of the cloning device, whatever, and then we're both killed before we could amount any karma that would make one of us come back as a bug and the other one come back as the Buddha, say.
So you could be twins, and if you are like lesbian twins, you would be having sex both with yourself and with your twin.
Something hot, maybe. I don't know. Depends on the facts. I don't know.
So you're saying
sci-fi porn, you know?
Is it cheating if you're having sex with yourself?
I mean, that's a great question.
I think that has been dealt with.
So
by
I cheat a lot, I guess. But.
The Rick and Morty philosophy has already dealt with that this season. We are edging around a topic that Tamler threw out that we would talk about. Can you guess it, Bill? Is it gotten obvious enough yet, or should we just start a scene?
Well, something about ghosts or identity or the self.
Ding, ding, ding.
Okay.
There you go.
Third swing. I had some foul balls, but then got some contact. Okay.
So what was your initial?
That's how this is set up, that Bill doesn't even know the topic.
No. And sometimes we don't tell him until quite a bit into it. But I felt like we should get it out there to see what when you brought that, because that has come up in so many different Partially Examined Life episodes, different readings. Derek Parfit being one of the many. Buddhism has already been mentioned. But what did you have in mind specifically to sort of get us going here?
Well, I have in mind all the senses that you're talking about. I'm very, like, I'm a meditator and very interested in Buddhism and no self theories. So I'm interested in that side of the self. I'm interested in narrative theories of the self that kind of view your identity as a kind of story that we construct as we're going. Some of the Nietzschean stuff that I'm sure you guys have talked about on Partially Examined Life, I find super fascinating. And yeah, even some of the Jungian, you know, the persona and the persona's relationship to the ego and some Freudian stuff. I really find all of it kind of fascinating. The existentialist literature, the idea that you create yourself through your actions and you're in this kind of limbo before that, all that stuff. And the ways in which we can either build ourselves, construct ourselves, the extent to which all of that is just an illusion and a lie. Yeah, I mean, and maybe it's just I'm a narcissist. And so that's the thing I'm interested in the most is myself. But I don't know. I find that topic, it's not my area of expertise, but I've taught seminars on it. And I keep coming back to it in all sorts from all different angles.
I think okay. If you've taught a seminar on it, it counts as part of your area of expertise. I think I have a low bar. Perhaps.
You haven't taken my seminars.
So. Yeah. Or you gotta give the check back. One of the two.
Yeah, exactly.
Bill, as our resident philosophy layman, lay it down for me. What is this even a problem?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you have a self? Do you even understand the question?
I do. I can see there is something that has come up primarily from me, and it's this idea of when does philosophy leave the roof of the college dormitory with beers and marijuana and get down into the real world. And I could certainly see notions of self and theories of self being valuable for people's mental health and emotional well-being and whatnot. And there being some obvious utility there and helping people answer those questions for themselves so they can hopefully live a happier, more constructive life, you know, whatever that might be. Sometimes it can get a little, oh, wow, all right, sure, prove it, you know, or at least illustrate it. You know, if A is true, what does that mean for C? And if B is true, what does that mean? You know, some of the conflicting theories of self. I'm presuming many of the roads lead towards, and stop me if I'm wrong, do some of the roads lead towards, oh, what's it called? When you have control over yourself,
self-control.
Self-control. Yes. Oh yes, yeah. There we go.
You just have to switch the words around. Is that
is alternate universe Bill, who has the exact same DNA and exact same experiences, sitting in alternate universe having this conversation? Free will. There it is. Free will. Is there some intersection between self and free will? I'm presuming. No.
Depending on your views on free will, there are. I mean, if okay. you're Sartre, right, then you think that is essential to creating yourself. Without your free choices, you are you're nothing.
Sure.
You're like Schrodinger's self.
Yeah. You're a rock.
And yet for Sartre, your freedom is also just spits on the idea that you are something, because no matter what you've done in the past, no matter what kind of character you can build up, you can always just zag. Yeah. You can always just shatter that shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you feel like you have a good handle on who you are? Like what the essential parts of who you are would be?
Yes, as I've aged.
So like name five essential features of yourself.
Okay.
My nose and my dick and my left ear and my forehead. That's all.
I like collaborating.
Yeah.
I like learning. I feel I do have a share of humanity in terms of like food, clothing, shelter, belonging, connected. Like I everyone's on a sliding scale a little bit, but like, I do feel impulses that I can only ascribe as evolutionary, if that makes sense. You know, that like, it's not a blank slate. The space zoo, it's got a lot of information about us humans, and it's not all our choice.
Sure.
Was that five? It sounded like three and a half.
It's So sounds like
it's an arbitrary number anyway, you know.
I'm a 9 on the Enneagram scale, an INTP, Myers-Briggs. not that I'm huge with those things.
I thought you were saying, like, I'm a 9, like, out of 10. How you rate it.
I bet on some scales
I'm a 9. I'm on your personal scale, you should hopefully be pretty
honest. Yeah. There's always room for improvement.
So,
but I'm pretty good.
So self qua self image, right? That's right. Of course, there's the metaphysical self, you know, the point of consciousness. You think that maybe even if you lost your memory completely, there would still be a self there, and somehow it would be, well, depending on your theory of identity over time, it might be the same self, even if you've lost your entire memory. You know, it's attached to the same brain, so there's at least that. Other people would treat you as the same person. In that Regarding Henry movie, they treated Harrison Ford like he was the same person, even though he didn't even know he was having sex with that other lady. He didn't even know.
Yeah. Whoops, spoiler alert.
these people, listeners who are going to see Regarding Henry.
They missed it in 84 and then come around to it.
I mean, a lot of meditation is trying to get you to strip down to that metaphysical self, like your roles, like your name, your gender, none of that matters. And you are just reduced to your experience, your present experience, which is the thing that is you.
Yeah.
According to a lot of those views. So, yes.
Here we go. If a little tangential here, but you said you're big into meditation and whatnot. Mm-hmm. How much utility is there in meditation if you strip away the metaphysical religious side of it? If I was to construct a meditation retreat and it's purely, at no point do we ever mention, we don't even say namaste. There's no.
You can't say it because it's an N word.
Oh, I always said it. I said the N word. I'm sorry. Well, bleep that out. We may not have been recording when we made that joke earlier.
That's okay. That it's be better.
Things that'll get it's us better. In trouble. But yeah, okay, yeah. So the question is, how much is it 99.5% useful or 5%?
Do you mean doing it in a purely secular way?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, certainly you can strip away a lot of the overtly religious aspects of it. And a lot of the new mindfulness stuff is just that. It is purely, you know, it's for tech people to get more productive.
Tech bros.
Tech bros. Sorry. Yeah. I don't have a problem saying tech bros, but I think, you know, when you say how useful is it, if you set aside the metaphysics, I'm not sure. Like, to me, there's something kind of essentially connected with the metaphysics of it and the doing of it because of the no self aspect of it. And so I wouldn't want to separate the metaphysics from it, even if I can take or leave some of the
spiritual.
And there's not even that much of that there, except, like, you know, in notions of devotion and stuff like that. Sure. And even that can be cashed out in more secular ways.
Sure. Okay.
Oh, I was just reading some Plotinus recently, and then some William James to follow up on that. And he seemed to think that in a meditative state, when you do strip away everything, you don't even just become the singular propertyless you, but when you have no properties, then you're like the number one. The number one is identical with every other instance of the number one. So you actually become numerically identical with everybody else in the universe, with the soul of the universe itself. That seems like the heavy metaphysical lifting that I entirely reject.
One big ocean of consciousness is how it's sometimes described too. And, like, I think there's a lot of overlap between the Neoplatonist stuff, the Buddhist stuff, some of the, like, Christian mysticism, but kind of all gets down to that. But the thing about meditation, if you get deep into it, you can glimpse that world. You can feel it in ways that I don't think you could, or without a practice of some sort.
Sure. Okay.
Is this inspiring you, Bill, to start a meditation-related improv scene
that we can explore? Namaste.
Talking about self. This does come up in improv, if we're playing characters other than ourselves. Now I realize there can be kind of a surfacey thing here. Well, yeah, I'm a podcaster and a professor, but now I'm a doctor. You know, there we go. You know, but I would posit that the act of playing somebody else or thinking about at what point am I myself right up until I put on a lab coat with a doctor's name tag. You know, and is that where this new character begins? Where does that new character begin deeper or earlier? And how does it manifest itself? And what does it look like? Mark and I have talked about this quite a bit. There's an interesting thing in there. And I think certainly I'm not a method actor, you know, who loses, they forget themselves. And they are Count Dracula for the 4 months that that thing's in production. That's a little pretentious.
That would be hard as an improv person, right? Because you would have to keep switching.
Like, I got to shake that off. Are you kidding?
You can't be Daniel Day-Lewis if you're doing improv and doing like five of different characters a night.
Yeah.
I like to just walk around pretending that I'm Daniel Day improv acting as me.
Yeah.
And he's so good. Like he really almost, he really nails it.
But there is something to that. There is something in there and maybe something we can talk about. And maybe, I don't know if I want to keep, I don't have too formal of a plan here, Mark, but I think you might know some of the buzzwords I like and I think are important. You know, this idea of like, well, I'm myself and you're yourself. How does yourself get to me? How do I perceive you? You know, I can't see your inner workings. I can't see your thoughts. I can't see your process, but I do see something. And whatever that thing is, that is something that can be acted upon, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I can still be me, but then change how I'm perceived, however that is, however we want to define that, and appear to be somebody else.
AI might be the most important innovation ever. It's storming every industry with literally billions being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs the right data and a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? Time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, and application development with AI embedded across it all. And Oracle Sovereign Cloud helps you address your requirements for location, access, and data residency. OCI provides blazing fast speeds for AI's demanding workloads. And in the cloud, when you pay by the minute, speed matters. And of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. If you want OCI to help you do more and spend less, like Uber, the Premier League, and Oracle Red Bull Racing, take a free test drive at oracle.com/bandwidth. That's oracle.com/bandwidth. Oracle.com/bandwidth.
I mean, if you're asking me to somehow merge with you, I'm not down for that right now.
Yeah.
Oh, like the lesbian twins. I see. You're bringing it back.
Look, guys, I called you over because I thought we could merge. I've been reading this thing about essence merging, huh? Order some pizzas, you know, drink some beers and hit the bong and essence merge, okay?
What does that entail exactly?
Well, pizza and beer and marijuana, A. B.
Sure.
Well,
I'll go through the book.
I'll go through it all. Apparently, it was a guru from India or somewhere. I don't know. In that region, you know, and they had this whole thing about essence merging, you know?
I think I heard some about that. But don't you have to, like, isn't it kind of Cronenbergian that you got to kind of, like, you slit your wrist, I slit my wrist, and we rub them together? That kind of, I don't know if I'm comfortable with that.
I don't think it's that far. I really don't. I really didn't read that far.
Is it gay to essence merge
with
other men?
I don't think we need to take clothes off. We're supposed to turn off the AC so there's no electrical fields in the area to make it hot, but I don't think we're required.
We have to oil ourselves up and stuff.
Y'all thought this would be fun, okay? I thought it's just like we're all going to different colleges next year. We may not see. This is our last chance as buddies to essence merge before we're off to college.
I'm pretty excited about this. I mean, I feel like I haven't merged much to date. I've been kind of low. Like you count the number of emergencies, and it's like just about zero.
What about Margaret? You and Margaret merging or?
No, she isn't talking to me right now. I kind of texted her about 18 Girls. Times last night, and no responses at all. Okay. Mm.
That's not merging.
No.
That's more like, yeah, she's ghosting you.
Yeah, but like send an emoji. Maybe just send something.
Ooh, could you merge with her ghost? Wow.
If this is like a thing you could do as far as like stalking goes, like I'm definitely willing to explore that.
Merging with her ghost. Yeah.
I mean, merging, I don't want to have to, does that mean you have to like kill her, or is it just like you wait for her to go to sleep or what? I don't.
If she's ghosting you.
It's a classic rom-com like plot, right? You're kind of stalking her and then merging your essence with her ghost. And in the end, you end up together.
Okay. Right? So like she wakes up and then is it like a Freaky Friday? Is it like an All of Me situation where then like...
All of Me, yeah.
Where everybody remembers that very recent film as well, where I control half of her body and so yep. then can like feel her up and stuff just like Steve Martin does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, gross, but I mean...
Well, I think she's more feeling up.
The Lily Tomlin is... You're right. I misremembered.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's a great movie, by the way. Not to break character.
Yeah, maybe we should watch that instead of this merging thing.
No, we gotta merge, bros. We gotta merge.
Can you merge while watching the movie?
Dudes, look, my folks are gone all weekend. They're not coming back till Tuesday. We can just stay here all... If you want to tell your parents whatever, we just watch movies all weekend into next week. But let's merge.
I guess I'll merge. I'm still worried about.
So I've got a candles. Got some candles here. We'll get those lit. Okay. It's supposed to be in a circle here. I got the book here. Let me just...
So if we're all watching the movie and we're all watching really carefully, then the entire contents of our consciousness is the same. Yours the same. Mine the same. Tam's the same. All the same. Isn't that kind of pretty much merging just by itself?
Okay, Hollywood apologist, you know, it's like
you are a Hollywood apologist. I think that's so just, fair.
I mean, ever since I've known you, all your Halloween costumes have been like Hollywood characters, like Charlie Chaplin and Marilyn Monroe,
Doc Hollywood from that recent movie, Doc Hollywood.
Yeah,
I'm so into that.
You defend like the big studios constantly. Yeah.
Always.
You were pissed about the strikes.
You always buy popcorn and sodas at the movie.
Well, so that right.
$35.
Strikes. Solidarity. There's a way of merging. Can we go out and do some politically active stuff together? Would that some kind of like on the go merging? Like we're together in solidarity. Yay. It's like we're one being.
Yeah, that seems like a safer way of going
about it.
We're
going to light these candles. I'm supposed to light an incense. All I had, I stole something from my sister. It's this maple bacon incense. So that's what we got. That's what we're going to roll with here. I'll get that lit. Here we go. Okay.
Are you down with merging with maple bacon?
Yeah, can we actually have the maple bacon?
Hey, maybe we're like, once we're in that zone, it'll just manifest in our belly, you know?
Am I going to like some of the foods that you, I hope none of you like eggplant, because I can't tolerate eggplant. So
that's usually candle scented flavor, right?
Yeah. No, I'm just after our essence has merged. Like, I don't want to be eating eggplant because one of you loves it, you know?
Again, if we all eat the same food, can that be a way of merging in itself? Even okay, hear me out. Not just that we break up the thing in three pieces and we eat, but like I eat and then I want to go first, definitely regurgitate a little, then you eat a little and then we pass it around and then like we're one because like we have the same stomach contents.
I actually like Bill's idea better. I don't want to be regurgitated food in my mouth like I'm a little baby bird.
It's just an in progress idea. I mean,
I'm hearing a lot of I'm scared to merge. That's kind of the theme I'm getting.
Yeah, terrified
of all these distractions. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So descend in the circle. Right. Step one.
All right.
We introduce ourselves to each other using our spirit name. Does everybody know your spirit? Do I have a spirit name? Spirit name.
Are we supposed to culturally appropriate something in coming up with this, or can
Running
Bull or something?
My spirit name can be Bill, and that way it's like we're the same already.
Well, I don't want to short circuit. I don't want to cheat.
All right.
You know, let's just. I'm trying to look.
Can
up.
We just
Give
all have
second.
The same spirit name, and then we?
Okay, your spirit,
spirit
name is
your spirit name is Christopher Walken.
Can you do the voice?
No,
that would
I
be.
I wish I could.
Okay. Well, it says your spirit name is bestowed upon you by a guru or spiritual leader.
Well, that's okay. You, Bill.
Wow. Have you all been baptized? Maybe it's just like
bestow me.
I have not been baptized.
I was baptized when I was, I think I was one. So did they like come up with another name when I was baptized?
I just think that's your name. That's your spirit name. I mean, I think that's just your spirit name. I think.
Oh, your regular name. Part of the world,
in America, your name is your spirit name. I think that's just. That,
we suck. That's so lame.
Doesn't the spirit name give you control over someone? So everybody that knows mine, I guess they know my social security number. Oh, they give you your social security number. That's your spirit name.
Your spirit name is your true name, the name that the divine creator refers to you as.
Hmm.
All right, 333-589.
That's your social security number. That's, I don't know if your soch is your spirit name.
Okay.
I think it's the four numbers on the back of your credit card. Could you, or the three numbers on the back? You should read those out.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Let me get my
mom. My spirit name is Talloway. I'm just going to say it right now. That's my spirit name. I'm naming myself.
Because you're the guru. Yeah.
Yeah. He can do that. We can't do that. I can't do that. I don't feel up to being a guru.
Mark, your spirit name is Sequoia.
That's sick. Sick, Tamler.
Your spirit name is Mercedes.
Mercedes.
But not Mercedes Benz.
Not like the car company. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right.
More like Mercedes.
Mercedes.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Okay. We all have our spirit names.
Perfect.
Okay. We all speak our spirit name and say that we are present. Talloway is present.
Sequoia is present.
Mercedes is in the casa.
Okay. I'm supposed to close our eyes. It does say you're supposed to hold hands. If you want to nix that, I understand. That's cool. Or maybe just bump fists around a circle. Just like a fist bump around the circle. Is that cool?
Yeah, in the COVID era, it's probably just an elbow thing.
Elbow thing. Maybe. Yeah. I'm
that
sure
won't
the
affect,
understand.
You think? Yeah. Although they might be vaccine skeptics, some of these spirits, from what I've heard, previous communications.
Talloway is not quite comfortable touching his guy friends. I'm just going to say it. I'm just going to.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not dying all to right. touch either of you.
Okay. Right. Reading of. I can't close my eyes and read, so I'm going to open them momentarily here. Guys, that's SSQFA.
On an unrelated note, is there a way to improv all three of us talking in unison so that we can all be one? Is that a thing one could do? I don't know how to do that. That's a very advanced technique. But that was me in character saying that. So I don't.
Okay. And we can stop. All right. Yeah, you see. We'll stop there.
Sequoia.
Sequoia, yes.
I just think that would be the ideal ending to that, is that we're all now somehow,
if we could,
as improvisers, speaking in unison. We can't even do it on Zoom. The lag makes it impossible.
Yeah.
It's only because it's Zoom. Otherwise, we would definitely be talking in unison.
Yes. If there was another purveyor of video chat other than Zoom, it would be quite possible.
Quite possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What happened to Skype?
Seriously. Man, they probably were like, oh my gosh, COVID, we got this, we got this.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, they're booking their like first class flights to the Galapagos. And then, nope, there's this new company that nobody's ever heard of that's going to get all the money.
I feel like there was something early on with Zoom and Skype where Skype, it was either too laggy or the second you got more than two or three, there was something about it where people were like, we should do Skype. Hey, my buddy uses this thing called Zoom. Oh, okay. Never mind. We just never get Skype. Never got a second at bat. It just never got a second try even.
Yeah.
It's gone.
It's a tough world.
Well, that was our first scene. I enjoyed that scene, everybody.
All right.
Had you ever experienced such a thing in your life, Tamler?
Essence merging?
as doing it. An improv scene on a podcast or elsewhere.
No, I've never done an improv scene ever before.
All right.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Well,
it was fantastic.
I appreciate it. Whether you're being honest or not, it means a lot.
There's always room for improvement, but I am being honest. It went places, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was 5 to 10 minutes. Mark, what would you say? I'm
gonna
say
yes, I used to get 7 minutes. Scared of these things after about 2 minutes and be like, nothing is happening. We must abort. But after a few years of doing this, now I'm like, we could just do it for 45 minutes. It probably would.
Well, the whole thing about what is nothing, what is something, what is happening, you know, there's a lot of words in there that we can define. And the definition is from a performer's point of view, maybe different from a consumer's point of view. Even sure. when I said metaphysical, I kind of meant it as kind of armchair psychology, and you immediately took it, Tam, where it's like, no, that has a very specific textbook definition. You can't just throw it around to mean something between reality and imagination.
Right. Although it could be that. But yeah, it is something. I don't know. Like, I actually don't have a great definition of what metaphysics is. Do you, Mark?
I was in a very large, was it San Francisco? I'm trying to remember what city I was even in, but it was a extremely large, it was in Portland, supposedly the largest bookseller in the land. It like took a whole block, and it had about one aisle of philosophy and then a big section of metaphysics. So I think what metaphysics might mean to regular people, that included all the astrology and all the goofy stuff like that, as opposed to the ontology section.
Yeah.
Does this count as an entity or not?
Yeah. Right. Is this a table, or is it just a collection of atoms? Is this?
Yeah. How do parts relate to wholes? I mean, come on.
Yeah. That's the side of metaphysics that I'm not a huge fan of. I'm more with the bookstores than with
the ghosts.
Than with the conceptual analysis. Yeah, the ghosts. Fuck it. You know, you only live once.
Maybe.
Let's believe in ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you only live once because, as you were just saying, if you come back and you don't have continuity of memory, why even say it's you?
Exactly. Yeah, I don't totally understand that.
With your credit card debt, if there's a karma,
right? It is like inheriting somebody's debts. It's like
there was something going around. It always on social media where it's like, if would you rather have $1 million or go back with all your memories to when you were 10 years old? And people are like, that's a tough one. $1 million sounds pretty good. It's like, are all of you crazy? It's like, do you know how much money you? If I have all of my memories and I'm 10 years old and it's 1985? It's like $1 million is toilet paper. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Dad, I have some ideas for our investment portfolio as a 10-year-old. I don't know if that's going to might take a little growth time.
There's a small Seattle company called Microsoft. You'll thank me later.
Never mind like the sports gambling. I mean, I guess this is all done in Back to the Future, those movies, but yeah.
I think I was looking on YouTube and it was the some 90s comedy show that had like the C+ student time traveler who would go back and be talking to General Washington of like, oh, can you advise me on how to win the battle? Well, I just know you crossed the Delaware or something like that. No useful information.
So that would be very frustrating if you're George Washington.
Yeah, and he met a time traveler.
That's how I would be as a time traveler. I wouldn't be able to really effectively convey anything to the people of the past and would probably hasten our destruction
rather than iPhones. I can't make you one.
There's something that happens with a lot of those movies where someone goes back in time and it radically changes the future. It's like, no, it wouldn't. Come on. I mean, that's just like... I think it's a little arrogant to think that if I had only made this one difference, everything is changed.
It's more like what you were saying, Mark. It's like, okay, 100 years from now, you know how you're always looking to read something when you take a shit? That's taken care of. That's 100% taken care of. You never have to worry about that again.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can convey that.
So did we unravel the mysteries of the self through that scene? Did we unwrap the whole shebang and found out that there are, in fact, it seems at least we investigated some wrong answers.
It was a reductio ad absurdum of the self, and it shows that there is no self.
Yeah.
That it is an illusion.
So does that mean that merging would be easier or possible because there's no individual selves?
We're
or actually
merged.
That it doesn't make any selves because you'd have to have selves to merge them.
Right. We're already merged.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the discovery, is that we're already merged.
We're just one big material system that thinks that it has nodes of awareness or something. But no, it's just
existing in
a different kind of connectivity.
Yeah.
Because we identify with our thoughts, not understanding that they're just passing things in this larger merging, essence merging.
I think about that, like those moments when you wake up in the middle of the night or early for some reason, or just for whatever reason, you are roused from sleep, and it's just so disorienting. And it's like, what's my name? What day is it? And it's just like, in my mind, that's, knock on wood, I think probably some levels of dementia or mental illness, maybe that just all the time. But like, I feel like if I could, you're inside a dog, you're going to feel what it's like to be a dog or another person. What would it be like to be this other person? Step in their shoes. I think it would just be so disorienting, just amazingly distant. All these little things that we've learned about ourselves and in terms of how to interact with ourselves and how we understand ourselves and all of our feelings and inputs, to have those shifted or be different would just be painfully disorienting.
I agree.
Let's not do that for the remainder of this podcast.
So we don't want to do that. On the counter side to that is when you're falling asleep, because when you wake up, it's very disorienting. But when you fall asleep and you're also starting to lose a sense of who you are and what's going on, and, you have that same thing, but it's so relaxing when that happens.
Sure.
When all of a sudden your brain just starts letting loose in these weird directions, and then allows you to relax because it takes you out of whatever your neurotic concerns are.
Sure.
So I tend to listen to podcasts, for instance, or audiobooks as I'm trying to fall asleep. I have the sleep headphones that you can lie on.
I thought you were going to say prog rock.
Generally things with a beat will like wake my wife up, but talking, I can turn it all the way down and maybe it's not too loud. So my sense of when I'm falling asleep is, what the fuck are they talking about? That's when I realize I've already drifted off. The podcast has moved on. The audiobook has moved on. And I throw the thing to the ground and then go to sleep immediately.
Okay.
it's the opposite of relaxing, but that's perhaps what meditation.
In a rage, you throw the thing down, and then
Well, I know certainly dreams and dream interpretation is talking about metaphysics and armchair psychology and armchair philosophy. There's a lot in there about that. Do people even do dream analysis anymore, or is that purely the arena of the?
I think
the
people
pop
still
culture.
Do.
Is there any serious philosophers out there talking dreams?
Well, it's such a, we don't understand them. Like, we don't understand why we have them. There's no real accepted consensus theory of like what's going on with them. So, but there is, I think, still a pretty thriving psychoanalysis scene that takes dream interpretation seriously. Maybe not quite as Freud did it, but I don't know. What do you're plugged into some of that stuff, Mark. What do you think?
Other than actually reading Freud, I have not, in the various philosophy readings, come across this really at all.
So there's not a ton of academic philosophy on dreams.
I'm wondering how much, if either of you has come up with a legit idea during a dream, and then you wake up and you write it down, and you actually have like, oh, I have a plot for a thing, or whatever the that you've done productive work, supposedly, is your subconscious is plugging away and it's dealing with stuff. And then, it doesn't even have to be in dreams. It could just be, okay, now I've let the undertakers do their work, whatever the metaphor is that you want to use, the construction crew, and now it comes out full born. Has this been a winning formula for you using dreams?
For me? No. I can't say that it has. I mean, I do feel like there have been times where I woke up thinking, oh, that's a good idea. But I think that doesn't usually last. In fact, when I really look at the, if I do write it down, which I rarely do, and then I look at it later, it seems much less profound or effective. But, you know, I like dreams. Are you lucid dreamers, either of you?
Ever so slightly.
I have, from time and again, but not normally.
It's cool.
It's cool.
Especially because you can fly.
Oh, nice.
That's fantastic.
There's, yes. I think I used to be more into it, but it seemed like it was creating a strain, like that I was trying to do this thing, and you're supposed to like
wake
spin
up exhausted.
Around to, you know, to stay in the dream. I mean, that was a technique.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I'm going to do that next time.
But it just seemed too much work. I just want to let it happen.
Yeah.
I can seed my dreams. If the mood is right and my exhaustion level is in the right place, I can put a picture in my mind and kind of have my subconscious. Wow. Freudian slipped. Subconscious kind of take over. And like, I got it from here, Bill. You know? And that's kind of fun. That's kind of cool. Also helped by morphine. But
seems like morphine is just the answer to all of life's problems.
Man, I've only a handful of times, three, maybe four times in life, all medically administered.
Yeah.
Because of muggings or surgeries. I think never a pleasant, you know, kidney stone. It's never like.
Yeah.
But every time it's like, man.
This is the best.
I, in another world, I'm a junkie. You know, I get it. I get it.
Yeah, I if you could hook me up with a little, you know, you seem like you like have said, some it's connections.
All, it's, you know, don't drink enough water and you'll get a kidney stone.
All right.
That's, doubled over in pain in the emergency room. And they'll hook you up. Yeah.
It'll all be worth it.
So there's a notion that I was playing around with when we were reading this William James on Religion to try to put together his idea of the unconscious with the idea that maybe we could be hooked up to some larger realm. The idea being that we are, you know, what we call the self is mostly just a sort of little feedback system, but we can expand it. You know, I'm really aware of my hand right now. And I can even just be more aware of my hand by thinking about it. It's like you can sort of move your consciousness to different things where there's always processing going on. There's always, so I guess the idea was that James was playing with that people have these feedback loops in, you know, just like I can react to something that I see in front of me in the physical world. Well, somebody who's religious, according to his analysis, is reacting to something in the unseen world. So the question is, does that mean they're just making it up? You know, just like you could react to any old idea, abstraction that you know, whether well-founded or not, or is there any room with his notion of the unconscious as these tendrils that could stretch out to places, at least in your body, that normally are not where your consciousness is hanging out? Is there room through some mystical experience, through something, to hook up with those larger causal systems, you know, the resonances between me and the weather or whatever, you know, so that there could be, this is his, I think, explanation for how you could have rain dances and things like that. These resonances, is that all just bullshit?
I think it's not. Like, I really don't think it is. And I don't want to keep talking about meditation, but you become a lot more convinced that there's less of a dividing line of you know, that your body demarcates. You really do feel that start to dissolve and melt away. I think he's 100% right. And I think people can access these states, and whether they're hallucinations of some kind or whether they, you know, I don't think they feel that way. I think they feel like that if this isn't true, then nothing is true. But I'm not going to deny this and believe like Richard Dawkins, because one of them is very indirect and mediated, and one of them is couldn't be more direct ways of knowing.
I think there's something that when, you know, it happens all the time with people where that we, if someone pushes back against something, the other person just presumes the opposite. Like, you know, maybe we should be nice to immigrants in this country. Oh, and just give them money and just let them be president. You know, it's like people just jump to this distant conclusion.
Let them replace us.
And yes. Huh? Is that what you're suggesting? So, well, no, I think we can So I think Mark, this whole thing about like maybe there is some observational on that. We just presume that it's like, oh, so now you can see ghosts and you can talk to your dead grandma. Is that what you're saying? You know, it's like maybe there are some very minor, more moderate, more like things to observe that we can't often see. We've all been in situations where we're in a hurry and packing and overlook something and forget something or try to find something on the counter. And it just doesn't register. So I left it on the counter and you go back and then you see it. It's like those moments happen, you know. So for whatever reason, whatever mechanism is behind those moments, there may be deeper moments that aren't ghosts, that aren't grandma, that aren't angels, but are still, I don't know, maybe we can smell or sense or feel changes in barometric pressure that sense a storm, or you know, and again, maybe it takes time to sharpen those senses, but there may be some things going on that are not readily apparent.
Yeah,
sorry, Mark.
When Grandma dies, she'll live on in you.
Yeah, we know. That's fine. That's fine, Gilbert. That's fine. Yeah.
Are we done? Do you only do one improv thing?
I think we should do one more before we get out of here.
I thought Mark was starting one about dead grandma.
That could be a...
Hit us again, Mark. Hit us again.
When I die, I want to live on in you two. You're my legacy, and I feel like that
sure, grandma,
I should...
Sure.
But didn't you own a lot of slaves... And weren't you, like, really pro-Confederate?
Okay, Tamler, yeah. let's just...
Is that the way you talk Grandma, to your elders? That you have to point out all the stuff that they did that doesn't pass muster by today's standard? Is that the respectful way to be?
No, 1928, you know? So that was a little weird.
Yeah. Grandma, we will always remember you. Yeah. Always remember the good time, the trips to the beach, and all of the cards and telegrams that you sent for our birthdays. We always remember those. Thank you, Grandma.
We love the cards.
And they should live on.
They meant a lot. They really did. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So which was your favorite?
Which card?
Which year's birthday
card?
They
were all so good. It's don't make me choose.
Was it the one that had Snoopy?
Yes.
I never sent you one with Snoopy, you lying son of a bitch.
I knew you.
Okay, Grandma, it's we got a lot of those cards when we were young children. Yeah, so, you know, we just kind of
my other grandma gave me that great Snoopy one. That's the thing.
Dad's mom.
Yeah.
Is she already how's she doing living on in you? She died a while ago, so is she living in your hearts right now?
We know. Grandma Marie, we remember Grandma Marie very fondly, right?
Yeah, she left me like her armoire, which I don't know what to do with. I put it on Nextdoor, but nobody's claimed it.
So that's how you treat your elders. You just don't even know what to do with what they leave. I guess I won't leave you much.
Well, I don't think that's what he's saying, Grandma. I think he's just saying that. He was very happy to have the armoire, but realized that perhaps he could bring someone even more happiness, some other person even more.
Yeah, someone in the late 1800s.
I would like, when you all have children, I would like to be one of those children. So I want you to arrange to set it up. It's really kind of I want you to take a lot of pictures of my room here so you can set it all up for me as a child and just assume it's going to be me.
So that's like Get Out, kind of, but with children.
I figure if I just really just first you got to be just ready to spring. As soon as I go, you got to be ready to just knock somebody up. So
I will
get in that great grandchild, I guess. Yeah,
I will talk to Martha. I think you've met Martha. I think I've brought Martha around. You've met her. She's very nice, very pleasant, and I'm sure.
Is that the Oriental one?
I believe the preferred nomenclature is Japanese. Yes,
Asian American.
Yeah. Asian American.
Yeah, yeah. You don't.
Are you comfortable, Grandma? Can we get you another pillow or an iced tea? What do we need?
I mean, something to stave off the death for a few more years. Do you have anything like that?
Could we get
a blanket?
Can we give you something, maybe not quite the soul of our child, but like some tea, maybe?
All right. What if we'll just sleep? We'll let you sleep.
What if I just take up part of this? You know, if your child wants to bring a fresh soul along, that's fine. But, you know, it'll be probably pretty underdeveloped and we can just merge. And then I can just see through. I can just record, control the right side of their body. For instance,
the essence merge, you mean?
I've heard a lot about that. It's all the kids are talking about this day.
I heard you got to take your shirt off.
And rub yourself with oil, maybe. I'm definitely going some controversy over that.
The medical marijuana, I think, is going to come in very handy.
Yeah.
You know, that when I'm going tomorrow, maybe, and sometime soon, I'm going to, you know, have the pipe. I'm going to be ready, is what I'm saying, to just get right back in the game.
Yep. Well, you will always be in our hearts. We'll certainly wish that your warm soul inhabits us and inhabits our children. And let's get you that blanket and that tea, and then we're going to let you sleep. Is that cool, Grandma? Get some rest, huh?
All right. Sorry I took all your morphine.
Oh, God.
That was not cool.
The laudanum? You
I took the laudanum, yeah.
All right, fine. I'll just have to use all this crack.
Huh? Yeah, that's what I thought you were suggesting when you said bring the pipe over. My grandma's smoking crack and trying to capture the souls of her great-grandchildren. Like, that's never a good thing.
When are you going to do it, if not now? I mean,
it's true.
It's on the bucket list.
Yeah.
You have this dictionary on your desk, Grandma, with the word anachronism circle. What's happening here?
No idea.
Are you a time traveler, Grandma?
I mean, maybe. We can look. We can talk next time around. When you ask your children about it, wait till they get about 10 years old, and then I'll be able to peer out of that. You're asking me?
Yeah.
No idea.
Because
she knows it's 1928. She knows that she is a former antebellum. Debutante.
Like on that Designing Women. Yeah, okay. All right. I get it.
Designing Women. That's a deep cut.
If the time traveler gives herself away through too many references to future TV shows that were not any good.
Of all the things to give yourself away, not even something cool like stock tips or sports, you know. Sports scores.
I mean, yeah.
Time traveler.
Grandma's become unstuck in time. That's when you move her to the facility, I think. I think it's time. Yeah. So in that sense, you will live on in us in that we're moving you out of the house into a place where they're going to take very good care of you, Grandma.
Your scent will remain in the house.
Yeah.
Despite us pulling up the rugs and repainting, I fear your scent will remain.
So was there a particular improv technique? I mean, obviously, I completely lost myself in that character. You didn't even know that.
You were like Norman Bates at the end of Psycho, you know, like you completely now. It had captured you.
I don't think any specific technique, Mark, but you were doing a number of fairly tangible things to change yourself, right?
I mean, I was occasionally doing a voice and then going back to my regular voice.
And delivery, you know, and cadence and whatnot. And but you also had a different agenda than I think Mark would have, right?
Usually when I'm talking to people, I'm not trying to weasel my way to reincarnate as my own great-grandchild.
Yeah, not a typical Mark Linsenmeyer talking point.
I mean, it's the part of the long game of this podcast.
Yeah.
If you just record, Tamler, do you feel like this? If you just record enough audio, then somebody is going to listen to so much of it in the future that pretty much it's like you'll still be there.
I'm immortal. Yeah. That's definitely how I think. This is my immortality project. And also, like, I feel like I could die right now and my family could, if they chose, still listen to me. I actually really did take comfort in that when we first started doing it. Now there's just too many of them, and they're just be like, fuck this. You know?
I've thought about with that with my music or whatever. Like, if your child, oh, I have dad's old CD. Like, yeah. I have dad's 19th old CD. Okay, I don't need that. Right. That's not helpful.
Yeah. Kind of like our scene, huh? Kind of like our scene. Grandma, it's time to go.
I think
we're done.
Yes,
your work here is done.
That doing something like improv, which is so, it should just be thrown away as soon as you're done with it, as our last guest was telling us, is a good corrective to the idea of.
That's right.
So do shitty podcasts, and then you'll feel like this is not immortality.
Right. Improv is the opposite. It's so ephemeral. It is in the moment. And that's, you know, a good thing.
Until you run for office and someone does a supercut. It's all the offensive things you ever said in your podcast.
But it's not
career.
Purely in the, it's in the moment, yet recognizing of prior moments. The prior moments that existed within its existence, if that makes sense.
And like touching Mark, the platonic form. Yes, that too.
But yes, Mark had a consistent character with a consistent behavior, you know? And it's like, in that regard, there is some effort, there is some work, there's some labor that's going into this to build a person who behaves consistently or consistently enough for the viewer to accept them as, you know, reasonable or real enough to watch. And I think that's the labor part of it that people don't always grasp.
So if you do enough improv, Tim,
a lot of labor,
then you'll realize
barely any.
You'll figure out how to build yourself, how to build your real self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been searching for it for all these years, and it's elusive.
Some of the fakest people I've ever met. Hollywood and salesmen. That's
Well, don't say anything bad about Hollywood in front of Mark, though. He gets very defensive.
God damn it.
Yes. Meal ticket, Lindenmeyer. Yes.
What has Hollywood ever done for you also?
I mean, it's provided a sort of a limit case. That if I were to, you just keep doing, mm-hmm. and you keep growing, and you keep getting one fan after one fan after one fan. Eventually, that's where you're gonna be Tom Cruise.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe it's the Scientology is what's missing. That
good callback.
So yeah, I think so.
So I'm gonna just check that out.
That's a little shortcut, I think, that at this stage you might want to consider. You'll be in the next Mission Impossible.
Well, thanks, Tamler, for coming and hanging out with us for an hour. Do you feel like anything came out of this philosophically for the merging of these formats?
I do. I mean, it's interesting. I listened to the one that you said, but I haven't really heard a lot of these. And yeah, it's fun. I like it. It's a nice change of pace. You're not just, I mean, you know, all podcasts are improv and in one sense, because it's not prepared and we're riffing on each other and we're trying to, you know, keep the conversation lively and interactive. But we don't have like, okay, now we're playing this different person or we're, you know, like that's the nice change of pace. So, yeah, I'm a fan.
And as a philosophy podcaster, do you sometimes feel a little bit superior to some of your guests who all they know how to do maybe is say the spiel that they prepared?
Totally. Yeah. In fact, we stopped having guests doing like promoting their books. Like we just like we couldn't take it. We couldn't stomach it. Like now, like it's just like we have to like they have to have the vibe of the show and they have to be able to think on their feet. Even like, well, I won't say any names, but there are certain people that we were very excited to have on, but because of precisely not being able to do the riffing stuff, it's like, you know, they're kind of dead. And yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and we, you know, like it's podcasting is also very yes and-y, you know, like it's, you are trying to lift, we're not always at our best and often you need the energy of both people supporting each other to make it really come alive. And so we think of it in those terms.
Those ideas you have, to go back to what Mark said about the idea you have at the twilight of slumber that you think is so great or so amazing. I think there are moments in sleep, in dreams, where you're an absolute yes and machine.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
right.
You'll just accept whatever is given to you. And your brain is like,
yep.
there's a scary lady upstairs. Oh no. And you just accept it mm-hmm. and live it, you know, and I think that's why it can be so disjointing if you wake up or are disturbed from a dream where it's like, you have to shake off this emotion. Like, why am I feeling emotions? Right. I was asleep. No, I received no external stimuli yet. My brain was so yes anding that it actually took on the emotion that,
yeah,
myself.
That's a good way of describing, actually. Like, our brain goes into a yes-anding machine as you're falling asleep in dreams. It's like you're just accepting thing. You're just accepting yes. all the various ways that it goes, and you're not questioning it.
Well, I feel like this has been a success, just in that, you know, when you've been on the Partially Examined Life before, it's a cutting back and forth. We got some arguments. Yeah. We're prepared. And just to bring you down to my level right now of just chilling, I feel like, yeah.
Yeah. No, normally I'm like Ben Shapiro, you know, or Destiny, you know, just destroying people with my arguments, with my devastating.
And now we're like, maybe they're ghosts, man. Put us in the philosophy section in iTunes. Yeah. We just talked about ghosts.
Mm-hmm. Well, if there are ghosts, then there are going to be a lot of ghosts that are happening on the border with Mexico, as our residents of Texas are killed by murderers coming across the border in Texas. How about those ghosts? Do we believe in those ghosts?
You seem weirdly silent about those ghosts, Mark.
And so the show ends. Do we have a winner, philosophy or improv? Do we even care at this point? Do you have an opinion, Tamler? We always just raise that question.
Philosophy versus improv in this discussion?
No, not in general. In this discussion that we just had.
I think they essence merged.
All right.
This is the one episode I will accept a tie. In that, well, not even a tie. The essence merge.
Yeah, there's no. You have to have two to tie.
Yeah, God. It's not a tie if you go for a run by yourself. You know, yeah.
Is it cheating?
The essence merge, philosophy and improv. That's a good question. All right.
So long, everybody.
This was fun. So long, everybody. Nice meeting you, Tamler.
Thank you for having me on. I had a lot of fun.
If you enjoyed this, get more at philosophyimprov.com. If you're hearing this on the Partially Examined Life feed, please go subscribe directly to the Philosophy vs. Improv podcast so you won't miss any episodes, and you'll see our whole back catalog of episodes in that feed. While you're on the Apple Podcasts site subscribing, please leave a nice rating and review of this podcast. Better yet, avoid all the ads. Hear our post-game discussions for nearly every episode and experience the video for this and most other recent episodes at patreon.com/philosophyimprov. Thanks so much for listening. I should sell my soul. Bankrupt. Bankrupt.